I'm going to mix things up with regards to today's gospel, and it's all Deacon Rick's fault. Not really, or in a good way, I should say. Let me explain. You see, we get a draft of each week's bulletin about 8 to 10 days before the Sunday you receive them. And so on about July 1, I was reviewing the new bulletin, and I read Deacon Rick's reflection on the readings. And the gospel today for this Sunday is about seed falling on various kinds of soil and relating it to our receiving of God's word. And Deacon Rick's reflection in the bulletin compares our ears to the various kinds of soil instead. And it's a very interesting read, so check it out. After all, we hear the word of God at church or maybe in a Bible study or even in private study of scripture at home. And it all starts with hearing, bringing God's word inside us and into our mind for consideration. The gospel is discussing the common barriers to this process. But today's gospel ends with doing, the fruits of receiving God's word fully into our mind and body and life. And one of the ways of doing is to use our mouths, our voices. And so today I'm going to compare our mouths to the various kinds of soil in Jesus' parable. Some mouths are like the seed that falls on the rock-hard path. The word of God hits the ear but goes no further. Never gets to the brain and through the body to the mouth. It just bounces back into the atmosphere. Sometimes we don't want to hear the word of God, not because it is bad, but because then we might have to change something in our thinking or way of life. Or we think that we have everything figured out nice and neat according to our plan. That is what I call self-inflicted ignorance of the word of God. But his word is alive and active. And we hear from the Gospel of John, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things came to be through him, and without him nothing came to be. What came to be through him was life, and the life was the light of the human race. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it." We are meant to benefit from the word of God in our lives. Some mouths are like the seed that falls on rocky ground. The word of God goes into the ear and it is all the person can talk about. It may be an amazing moment of conversion, a personal connection with Jesus or the Father or the Holy Spirit. And there is great joy and our voice comes alive. It inspires worship and praise and conversation with God. But then something new comes along and the focus changes on that new thing. And the devil may be working to distract and draw us to something else. And so the word of God takes second place, and then third, and then pretty soon it falls off the top 10 list. Some mouths are like the seed that falls among thorns. The word of God goes into the ear, but the person is afraid to speak up when someone tells a dirty joke or spreads a rumor or belittles or bullies someone or steals or lies or harms another person, or when a request or demand is made that goes against our faith. They are more concerned about fitting in, being accepted, not rocking the boat. They are afraid it will affect their status in the organization rather than in the kingdom. And some mouths are like the seed that falls on rich soil and produce fruit, 100 or 60 or 30-fold. The word of God goes in the ear. It changes the whole person from the inside out. The desire of the mind and heart and soul focuses on that relationship with God. And joy in the Lord comes through our mouths, worshiping and praising God with our voices, not out of obligation, but true expression of our joy, our relationship with God and his Son. And going further, expressing gratitude in all the gifts and protection and graces received. Hopefully during our intimate personal prayer, maybe out loud or perhaps with our inner voice, It could happen also around the dinner table as we share the blessings of the day in addition to our trials. The mouth speaks truth. Mark Twain once said, if you tell the truth, you don't have to remember anything. And that works really well regarding what we ourselves say or do or witness in our lives. So we're called to be truthful. What if someone asks us to give them honest feedback? I heard of an experiment where a professor asked each of the students to find someone and give honest feedback to that person during the next week. The results were mixed. Initially, a significant number of relationships were harmed. But 6 months later, the majority were grateful for the honesty, and their relationship grew stronger. It raises two questions. How are we at giving honest feedback with love and compassion? How are we at receiving honest feedback? There was a tradition at Carnegie Mellon University called the last lecture, and the invited speaker was asked, if you had only one last lecture that you could give of your own choice, what would it be? In December 2007, the invited speaker was Professor Randy Pausch. It wasn't his last lecture, but he had late-stage pancreatic cancer, so he was getting really close. He chose to speak on really achieving your childhood dreams, and one of his dreams was to play for the NFL. Many of us had that dream. He didn't reach that dream, but he said he gained something much more important. One day during practice at his high school football team, the coach yelled at him, "You're not doing this right. You're not doing that right. Drop and give me 20. Get your head in the game, Pausch." And after practice, one of the assistant coaches came up to him and said, "Coach was pretty hard on you today, huh?" Randy responded, "Yeah, he sure was." That's a good thing. Because when you're messing up and no one says anything, it means they've given up on you. That stuck in his mind for the rest of his life and in mine. So how are we at giving and receiving honest feedback with love and compassion? If we're not good at it yet, perhaps we should ask God how we can get better. The mouth also offers help to others in times of need. The situation may eventually need our feet and the hands to carry it out, but the response starts with our mouths, sometimes very simply, "Can I help you with that? Are you okay? Quick, someone call 911. Would you like to get together and talk about that?" The mouth draws others to God in difficult times and good times. Is there something I can pray about for you? May I pray with you now? Would you like to come to church with me? I'm sorry the church hurt you in that way, but I don't see that anymore. Can we discuss it? Let us receive the word of God like the rich soil, with our ears to start with our minds and hearts in tune with God, with our decision to follow Christ and follow his will in this world, starting with our voices, then our whole minds and bodies and souls. And so we should pray, Lord, show us the fruits in your garden you want us to grow. Show us the needs of your kingdom. Give us the courage and the grace and the words to act. Help us to do your will, not ours. Amen.